take it out from there. What's up?
This is it. Episode 381. Oh, I thought,
we're done. This is the last one, guys. This is it.
It's pretty exciting. We got a lot of movies to talk about tonight. Today we're going to be doing Dark Tower. We're going to be doing Detroit. We're going to be doing
Kidnapped.
Halle Berry's Taken.
Oh.
And
I'm taken with Halle Berry. I can tell you that.
As well, you should be.
Let's
my
flip
friend.
That on its
some,
head.
And you put her
trailers.
In a minivan.
Ooh, and a miniskirt.
Boom.
Lights out.
Oh my.
Yep.
Lights.
Lights out. Soccer mom. So, but we've.
That's
got
actually
to...
what it's called in Japan. Kidnapped.
Yeah.
Sinai. Yeah. It's called. She'll get your eye out there for lights out, soccer mom.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
Yep. Well. It's SWAT versus Devil.
Yeah. Sandy, big fan of Japan. Big shout out.
So, any announcements up top?
What do we got going on, folks? You know, go to the YouTube page. We're just trying to build that up. YouTube.com/comedyfilmnerds. We take the video from this, so we were recording video and audio, obviously, from this, and we cut up in little segments. So, like, if you want to consume the podcast a little differently, like just talking about this movie or that movie, and then we release the whole video for it on if you're a Patreon backer at the $10 and up level.
So, if I'm a Patreon backer at $10 or up, I get all this bonus content.
Well, all this bonus content. I probably forgot to post last week's full video, but
you'll get to it.
You'll get it.
You just got a new computer.
I just got a new computer, yeah. So I'm transferring stuff over. There's a lot of shenanigans happening. I just had a birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you.
36. Congratulations.
36. I was going to say 29, but yeah, right. All right. We're going to, you know.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, Mike.
You're welcome.
Go to the Patreon page, of course. Get the bonus content. You get bonus audio, you get bonus video, you get to support the show.
You get an occasional poll.
You get a poll.
Not every week, but get an occasional poll.
Mm-hmm. Sounds exciting.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you like a movie poll?
Well, I can get it was a movie poll. I'm sorry. I thought it was on XTube. All of a sudden we're getting a bonus poll. I was like, all right, fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever kind of poll you need.
Yeah.
What other announcements do we have? Oh, yeah. So the earbuds is not available on the site.
Yes.
It'll be out. Can we?
Did you respond to that press release email yet?
No.
Okay.
I really
didn't. He's transferring everything to a new laptop, Chris. I don't know if you heard.
Yes, yeah.
Email, everything. It's all in the ether. It's all in transit.
It will be out mid-September.
Yes, which means we cannot sell earbuds in any form until the 45 days, like late October.
However, we still have T-shirts and posters.
Yes.
We can still sell those.
We can
those.
Sell the shit out of those. But it'll be mid-September. It'll be available everywhere, iTunes and the like. So
yes.
if that's like one of your favorite platforms to view stuff on, you can get it there.
And it'll be on cable, Comcast, all those places.
Yeah. It'll be really cool. And also, Laughganistan is going to go get distribution mid-October from Comedy
Fantastic.
Dynamics as well.
All right.
What else?
So, we could introduce our guest.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Folks, longtime friend and fan of the show, guest, writer, everything else. He's got his own podcast.
Author in the book, The Comedy Film Nerd's Guide to Movies.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 40-year-old boy, Mike Schmidt.
Hi, everybody. How are you? Thank you for having me in the new studios that no one warned me about.
Why would we need to warn you, Mike?
Because I look
I told
fool.
You we're going to eight. What did make
I have a hair out of place. I've worn a shirt from years ago. I would have dressed up. I would have doweled up. I would have certainly cleaned up in some sort of way. I've showered, certainly. But at the same time, I just don't feel this table is carpeted. I feel like I'm completely out of place. It's a movie show. I should have done some sort of movie spiffing up. I had called a makeup artist or had somebody, give me a touch-up.
You got your hair slicked back.
Well, I had my highlights done. My Wayfarer's on. I can see.
Well, you never leave the house completely unprepared. Come on.
No, I'm never. As long as I got a mouth, I'm in. I mean, yeah. It's fine. I mean, I can do that part of it. It's just the video part that's got me off kind of I can't swear.
30
right?
people watch our videos. It's not you're not going wide across the, all
well,
the
29 shoes of them just turned it off.
Yeah, exactly.
One of them is just like, I know that fat guy's going to shut up at some point, right? Well, let's hear the Kitten Hands people talk about movies I didn't see.
Yeah, our YouTube channel's not...
We just started it.
I got one, too. We all got one. We're all doing the same thing.
It's not the Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
You sure?
There's not 160 million people tuning in, Mike.
So a butt ad isn't going to come in here in the middle and have, like, cats play against cans in a game or some sort?
Well, if they want to write us a nice big check, I would let that happen in a goddamn heartbeat.
Cats versus cans. That's, I just created something. Somebody, hey, go ahead, sign me up.
Shoot a master lock from 200 clicks. I don't care. Yeah. Do that.
We're going to need a proof of concept on the cats versus cans idea.
I love it. I love the shooting.
First of all, anybody watching the show, please comment on Mike's attire.
Oh, yes. My God. Black t-shirt from 1,000 years ago that used to be a gym shirt, and then I put it back into a regular shirt. It went back in rotation. Terrible. By the way, there are guys here like filming and kind of producing, could not care less about any of this. Literally just like staring off into the distance.
Do you blame them?
Of course not. But it's kind of, because again, I'm used to being in a garage with you two and we're like, ha ha, it's vibrant, we're having fun, and there might be children and there's possibly a sparrow outside. But then I get here, it's this sterile environment, someone's filming in the next room, everybody's got to shut up, throw out a bottled water. What a mess. I wasn't prepared for what I was walking into, I guess.
That's a gateway into Mike Schmidt's brain.
Hi.
It's nice. It's an upgrade. It's professional. it's a mess. That's a mess.
Beautiful.
A sweaty, dirty fucking garage that's noisy and awful, and I've got to do extra work. That's perfect.
That was so homey. We were all together. We were at a table. We're staring at one another. Now I'm on the cusp here of a half moon. I don't like it.
The first clue would have been the different address.
Well, I knew that.
When I said the ATC Studios, what did you think? It was just Madrigal's Garage? Is that what we just...
I don't know what ATC...
Bill Burr's Quonset Hut? What do you think?
I mean, perhaps an improvement. He's got a carpeted table. I'm in. But I'm telling you, I knew there was a new address and I knew it was studios, but you know this fucking town. Someone says, hey, we're at the ATC Studios. It's another garage. It's literally another garage with another table in it. Who the fuck knows? I just... And again, this is... It's all beautiful and lovely and it's terrific. It's just I'm a little, you know, a little thrown. I didn't anticipate all this.
Either way, we're happy to have you here, thrown or not.
Yeah, part that's probably not true, but okay, I'm glad I'm here.
So let's get into it. Let's talk about some movies.
Sure.
Let's start with The Dark Tower. Now, this was a movie. I haven't read the books, but I was excited about this movie. It has all the elements that I thoroughly enjoy. Gunslingers.
All righty.
Kids in Peril.
Perfect.
different universes.
Does the Kids in Peril thing, is that just, you're just like, as a dad, you're like, yeah, that's what you kids get. Nobody listens to the old man.
Yeah, mouthing off. That's right. Now a monster from another dimension is going to live under your bed. So
you hear that, kids?
Yeah.
Monsters are real.
You have
Santa Claus is a joke, and
oh my, that went from 0 to 60 in about 5 seconds.
Sorry, Brent. It's time to grow up, kids. It's a cold, hard world out there.
That's why it's an explicit rating.
Yep.
It's for ideas, not for language.
Ooh.
America's not the hero anymore. We're bombing civilians. Anyway, political vigilante on YouTube.
Yeah,
Chris, you were saying
The Dark Tower. Speaking of bombing civilians, That's actually what happened when I was watching this movie. That's what I felt like.
Oh, my.
Oh, you got drone strikes?
Yeah,
like
I got
drone
in my eyes, with this movie. It was just a mess from start to finish. And
I'm going to jump in and stop you.
Yes.
I don't mean to stop your mind, but I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Tower is something I've heard about for eons.
Yes,
as
forever.
It's a beloved project. Everybody loves the actual literature, the Stephen King books. And then... For 10 years, development, correct?
Where
we're going to make it, we're going to make it, we're going to make it, all this stuff. And so then everybody's anticipating and waiting and waiting. Were you one of those people?
No, but I was one of those people who saw the trailer. I'm like, oh, this looks interesting. This could be a lot of fun. It's got like a lot of really cool elements to it. I will say up front, I'm not a huge Stephen King fan, but something like this had all like the elements that I enjoy.
Okay.
And the movie, however... It was interesting when I went into the movie. I'm like, oh, it's only 90 minutes long. That's interesting when you have this giant, you know, world that was created and all these books. It's like you're going to cram everything into 90 minutes. This should be interesting.
Did the four screenwriters give you any sort of indication of what this was going to be?
As soon as I saw the name Akiva Goldsman, I knew I was in for a treat. Oh, the writer from Batman 4 and Lost in Space. How could anything go wrong here?
How is he still working?
I don't know. I don't know. He's a stealth producer. He has his own production company. Buys up rights to stuff. So, here's the thing.
We should do
about
that.
This. Yeah, yeah. Indeed.
Well, when they started Hollywood, they determined that there had to always be one Akiva working at all times.
Right, yeah.
It's in the bylaws.
Once Esther House retired,
yeah, now it was
that
to have
somebody else.
Summon the Akiva.
Yeah.
Akiva. They bang a gong.
Release the Akiva.
Smoke comes up. The Akiva shows up.
How to fucking... Kalima!
On the fourth moon, the Akiva will rise.
I mean, let me put it this way. For this movie, after poor test screening, Sony spent $6 million on reshoots just to help flesh out Idris Elba's gunslinger character. Now,
if you've got to flesh out one of
one
the
character,
two dudes, there's
yeah.
two dudes in the movie. You
yeah,
gotta,
yeah,
hey,
exactly.
We better flesh out that second guy.
So now here's the interesting thing. You have two excellent actors, Matthew McConaughey and Idris Elba in
right.
this movie.
So how do you mess anything up ever?
Well, that's just it.
Four writers.
Like this,
summon the Akiva.
There
is only one thing that can ruin this movie.
Yeah, and this movie would have been even worse had they not like had two great actors not tried to elevate the material to a level where it should have been, and it never got there.
So I'm guessing there's obviously scenes where those two guys, you were like, wow, that's a compelling scene. They're such good actors, and then they're
right.
just surrounded by just nonsense.
Nonsense, ridiculous dialogue. Here's the main problem with this film is when you have this big, rich Lord of the Rings type mythology, and you can't shove it all into 90 minutes and expect, like, because what happens is then nothing becomes believable. You're like, well, he's a gunslinger out of the Old West, and now you have a tower that protects the universe from monsters, and now you have this guy who's Matthew McConaughey's character is trying to destroy the tower to let all the monsters in. Like, for, you know, like, but things like why? Why would he let all the, why would he want to let all the monsters in? Like, things like that.
Let's expand on that just a second. I find myself doing that at every movie now.
Right.
Especially with all the cape fever we've got with all the hero dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And like Thanos is coming and he's going to, or even I saw again the Justice League trailer last night.
Right.
And Death, whoever the fuck that guy is, he shows up. And again, mm-hmm. that's the problem with DC movies. Okay, who cares?
Yeah.
So again, another CGI dude shows up with like a glowing axe and goes, this world will fall. Why?
Right.
What are
right.
you going to do when the world falls? You know, you're all going to watch Chopped? I mean, literally, it's like you've just killed everybody and then what?
There's no point.
Do it again somewhere.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It's like, oh, you're, you know, the Dark Tower is keeping out all these monsters. Like, well, if all the monsters come in, then there's nothing left.
Yeah.
Where would you go?
Yeah, so you get to talk to monsters now. Good
right.
luck making
yeah.
small talk with a fucking
yeah.
goblin.
Good luck making small talk with a fucking goblin.
I'm serious.
And you have...
Have you ever tried?
And the key is, of course... The key is, of course, this kid with the shine. And the shine is from The Shining. So this series... also ties together like it's like dark, it's like Stephen King's extended
right.
universe.
It's this ridiculous mythology that I've
right.
heard because I have friends who love it.
Right.
And so I've heard there are people who thought this is a three movie epic.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So then when they start making because I hear they're making it, right? And I figure, okay, well, it's
right.
I've been hearing it forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I figure it must be coming out in summer of 2018.
Right.
Because that will be the launch, the first tentpole in this huge Dark Tower
yeah.
universe.
Right.
And then I start hearing. I start to see the ads for it, and they're like, coming this August. And August is always a terrible sign for any sort of summer movie.
Yeah,
it's the graveyard.
It starts to drop off.
Right.
And then they start
saying, from the writer of Christine and
right.
Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Right. Really?
You're kidding.
That's what you're picking?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
And so then when you're selling that, and they keep showing like clips from Stand By Me to show
mm-hmm.
you how good the Dark Tower is going to be, you're just like, well, they know they've got a dog, a complete
right.
dog.
Right.
And is it frustrating for... the creator and the fans, of course, certainly are furious.
I'm sure. I can't imagine Stephen King was happy with this adaptation.
But now you're dead in the water. You just put a pin in it. You're never going to make another Dark Tower.
You can't expand this universe.
Right?
Right. Yeah, you can't. Like, this is, honestly, it's like we talk about movie run times. For 90 minutes, this was the completely wrong direction to go to. If you have this giant mythological world and all these rules that you created, like, it was randomly, this is the problem with this film. It looked like you were watching cliff notes of six books. Like
yeah.
every scene was like, well,
insane.
That I'm sure there was five chapters that I just missed over here. There's yeah. six chapters I just missed. Like, you know, the kid has these powers. He's escaping the monsters that are chasing him. And then like he goes into this house with a portal in it and the floor starts moving. And apparently it's some kind of floor or house demon and he defeats it. You don't know how. And then there later on it's referenced. Oh, well, he defeated the house demon. Like how? Why? It was floorboards. And
I saw William Cat in a movie called House Demon, I believe,
yes.
in the 80s, wasn't that?
No, that was House.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
It was same concept.
It was House 2.
Okay. but like, dude, I don't even know how, like 90 minutes.
Right.
At 90 minutes, Tarantino or Christopher Nolan is just introducing the protagonist.
Yeah,
right? I mean, I know.
And he's built this rich world that you want to live in and experience. And then, oh, well, now it's time to hit the ground running.
Right, exactly. And this is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see, if, especially with fantasy. I mean, you really got to set up the rules and the world and everything. And this one was just like, nope, we're just going to kind of show you highlights or snapshots of, you know, each of these couple of books or whatever.
It's the Snapchat Dark Tower.
Yeah, it's really what it felt like. It's like for someone with...
So there's just like a bunny filter they put on Idris Elba.
Yeah, might as well at that point. You know Akiva brought it up. Kids love the Snapchat. Yeah. What if we came up with filters about three quarters of the way through? Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was Dark Tower ADHD. It was
$66 million budget reportedly, and it's done a whopping $19 million on its opening weekend. So that is fantastic.
Not the home run that they were hoping.
An army of fans behind it who wanted it to be good, and they didn't turn out. They knew. They smelled it a mile away. Again, like you said, 90 minutes, again, that's my tutor territory. That's private school. That's some bad sex comedy from the 80s amount of time.
Yeah, it's Porky's.
Yeah, it's an hour and 28 minutes, and you go out and you jerk off. I mean, fine. But, dude,
you don't do it in the theater? What's the point?
But now, here's a good example of, like...
I just go off in my pants. Yeah. I'm hands-free. I'm 13. What do you want?
Hands-free.
Hands-free.
You Bluetooth it?
It's all up here. Yeah, it's all up here, Mike.
Yeah. Oh, sure,
But when you look at a movie like, take Gravity. Gravity had a very lean running time of 90 minutes. But it's one person stuck in space. So you don't have to... you know, create this giant world and all these rules, you know, okay, they're stuck in space. I get it. She has to get down, you know, so for a 90 minute runtime, it makes perfect sense. But for something like this,
well, it's really 86 minutes. You got to put a John Mayer song at the end of the credits.
Right?
So, I mean.
But for a movie like this, I mean, it was just it was a mess. And it really felt like, well, should we make it shorter? Should we make it longer? Should we show this? Should we show that? Like, no one had any idea of like which scenes to show, like, or how to move the story forward or how to set up the world. So it was a definite swing and a miss.
Who directed it? Is it someone with a track record of some sort of sci-fi, or someone who could have stepped in and gone, hey, look, I've worked in this genre, and I know we're short shrifting all of this. I mean, we're going to sell these fans so short.
Nikolai. His name is Nikolai.
I'm out.
Yeah. Nikolaj Arcel. And he has directed fantastic stuff like A Royal Affair, Truth About Men, Island of Lost Souls, and King's Game.
Wow.
I don't know who this mope is, but...
He won the director lottery for something like this, because this is the kind of thing where this could have been a really prestige movie. I mean,
exactly.
You've got two giant stars in it. You've got a legion of fans that have read the books that are waiting for this film. It was such a misfire, and...
He wrote the screenplay for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Oh, really?
He wrote the screenplay for Fighter.
Something happened along the way.
You know the
story. Yeah.
Maybe he's not a good adapter.
It could be, and also you might have had too many cooks in the kitchen when you look at how many writers and producers and everyone else that got involved.
If you get a four-word pitch and it's Gunfighter versus the Devil, how do you ruin it?
Yeah.
I know.
And then you go, oh, we got the Oscar guy, one of the guys with the Oscars, and we got a guy who's going to win about 10 more Oscars eventually, Idris Elba.
Oh, we got 100 million people that would gladly show up to this thing opening night.
Yes, and can't wait. I've been waiting for years for this movie,
Yeah. Go get that Dane who wrote the tattoo movie.
Yeah.
let's throw him behind the camera for the first time. Way to fuck this up. Way to go, Danish.
Like, it really felt kind of like kind of like The Mummy, where they were more interested in throwing in the Stephen King Easter eggs and like to setting up like, oh, it's all a big connected universe than actually telling a story.
Are you telling me they saw a dead body?
So no one saw a dead body.
Oh, all right.
No, but there was... an example is on the desk of Dr. Hotchkiss' office is a...
It's not Dr. Hotchkiss. It's absolutely not that name from the old Playboy cartoons. You're kidding me.
Is a picture from the Overlook Hotel from The Shining. And, you know, Stephen King said one of the influences was The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, because you've got, like, a gunslinger.
Sure.
But, you know, he's the last one, you know. So, like I'm sure there's a lot of story that we're missing that you're not setting up. Like, this was an opportunity to set up a world and a franchise that completely... This got mummied. This really did got mummied.
Terrible.
Where now I'm not interested in seeing anymore. I don't care about the universe anymore. The only thing is now I'm interested in reading the books now, because I heard the book... People have said the books are fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
I saw the trailer, and Idris Elba's the gunfighter, and then the kid goes to him and he goes, you're going to like our world. And I just figured, okay, so you're going to bring a black guy wearing two guns in our world? Five cops are going to shoot him the second he shows up.
Yeah. So I'm gonna... Not if he's in a cowboy outfit.
Oh, I don't know, man. Yeah. So
just say, oh, it's a pride parade?
Yeah.
how do you chili dip this, man? I mean, again, so many people waiting so long for this source material. And you kill it.
You just blow it.
Nails in its heart. Mm. And because, again, you're not going anywhere with it now. Again, mm-mm. No one's going to revisit it. No one's going to do that. And so you've essentially snuffed out the hopes of, like you said, 100 million people who love the source material.
Now we have to wait a few more years, and maybe Netflix will pick it up as a TV show.
Yeah, so. And work every improvement on it, exactly.
Right.
To make it fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's, I got to hear about Kidnapped. Let's go to that one next.
I got to tell you, so we all saw we talked about this, or Kidnap, rather.
Kidnap, yes.
So this is Halle Berry, and someone, takes her kid?
Someone takes her kid, and she chases him.
All right.
In her car.
But isn't there like a WWE wrestler in this, or didn't they have something to do with this movie? Or I
don't know. WWE is starting to produce more stuff.
Tons.
Without wrestlers.
So.
Really?
Yeah. They're not doing, they're just being a production company. It's kind of weird. It's, but.
John Cena's not in all of them.
Yeah. No.
I say they reboot the Dark Tower, like immediately. Yeah, just step right in.
That'd be great.
Throw the Big Show in there somewhere. Yeah.
This movie had a $21 million budget. We showed the trailer at PodFest last year, so there's all these people on Twitter and everything going, oh, my God, you guys got to talk about this. You got to do it. Comedy filmer fan Takura was like, Graham, let's go. So we went. It was fantastic. This movie, I went in there thinking it's going to be so bad it's hilarious.
Right.
It's going to be Fast and Furious style, like laugh out loud at the big moments. It's a gripping film. I mean, it's real.
No way.
I swear to God. About halfway through, I was like, this is kind of awesome. So, she's at the park. They introduce her real quick. Single mom at the park.
Right. It's all in the trailer. She gets
it's all. Yeah. She's talking to her lawyer about the, custody. So it's everything. I got to say, everything that happens here, it's very plausible. And they take the kid and she's just running after them and everything, like why she doesn't have her phone, why the cops are reacting. Like everything was like, I was kept waiting for just like, oh, come on. And I don't know, maybe we should do a spoiler rep on it, but it's engaging. And Halle Berry is a fucking badass.
She is a badass.
She's a bad. This is her Taken.
She's Storm.
She's unbelievable, and she's so convincing. And I got to be honest, this is like her Castaway. The whole movie is her. You see a couple of small. You see like a cop or two. The bad guys. You barely interact with
them.
I'm
gonna guess her kid's not in it that much.
No. Yeah, certainly not.
No, he got kidnapped.
Yeah.
So I mean. There's a couple quick. I mean, there's no other stars. There's no other anything. It's just her, and so much of it is her driving in this minivan that's just fucking tearing up the South. I mean, it just takes place in New Orleans, and then she goes on this crazy high-speed chase. And
is that most of the movie, though, the chase?
That's the whole fucking movie. She's chasing the whole way. There's about 10 minutes of exposition, and then it's on.
Keep bringing the van.
It's literally.
So you're saying it's a better use of 90 minutes?
Yes. It's the best 90. I'm like, well, this is a 90-minute movie. You go in, bang, bang, and.
You don't have to set up another world.
No.
It's like a drive-in movie.
Yeah.
Like when you're a kid, you watch Eat My Dust with Ron Howard or some nonsense, I'm 1,000 years old. But
and the Apple Dumpling Gang.
Yeah.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang comes on.
Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. The movies I actually saw in a fucking drive-in.
I saw all of them in the drive-in. Everything I just listed. King
with
Kong.
The Golden Voyage of Sinbad.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I mean. 90 minutes are just like, yeah, awesome. Let's do this. You know what I mean? Those are always the kind of movies that wind up on. Like Elvira or something where they kind of take them apart, but it doesn't matter. They're gorgeous. Sometimes that's what you want to see, some bite-sized movie that just fucking kicks ass.
And I got to tell you, the joke we made at PodFest last year, I was like, look, if this is, she's going to just start doing these, this is her Takens, like next one's going to be Girl Scout Troop. And it's like, you mess with the wrong cookies or whatever. Like I'm fucking, at the end of this movie, I was like, do it.
No.
Do five more of these. I'm in. I don't care. Like Kidnapped. Oh, I adopted a kid. They got him too. Like,
That'd be great if the whole Girl Scout Troop and he had to go out.
Yes. Oh, and perfect. She just fucking.
But isn't it great when.
Called Den Mom.
Because look, Halle Berry, whatever you think of her, she hasn't. didn't she win an Oscar for Monsters Ball? Okay.
Yes.
She's, I think she's an incredibly talented actress. I think she's an engaging personality. And good for her that she found someone went, yeah, she's got star power and she's good. Let's give her a chance to shine. Instead of, again, I'm old and so I have, like I said, I have cape fatigue. Like I can't watch any more Other Worlds and I can't watch any more stuff. And you're just like, Jesus. So to see this kind of movie. Just crime.
And $21 million. Right. Like, for perfect. They didn't spend $150.
And she got 19 of it.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
And then they bought 14 vans.
Yeah, that's, right. That's it. For
fucking, and they were done. $2,500 a throw and, yep. And one camera. Got a handheld. Mm-hmm. That's it.
But and the other thing, didn't too, even need twins. Probably just one kid. Just
well, he's only in it for one
yeah,
shot
exactly.
And then two shots.
Yeah.
Beginning and end. But yeah, but how I think it's great that someone like that gets this opportunity. And now might rediscover this new career where she gets to be those kinds of roles.
And
I think
she
good
should.
For her.
You bring up an excellent point. As I was leaving the theater, I was like, the other cool thing is, you know, Hollywood has this awful long history of discarding, especially female actresses, when they get too old.
And minority actresses, forget
and minority,
about it.
You're done. You're out. You're too old. You're gone. Like, guys can get into it, but women, you're done. So to see, like, Atomic Blonde, you're like, wow, she's in her 40s. Halle Berry's in her 40s. And I'm like, I was like, this was kind of cool. The whole movie's empowering. She's, it's believable in this world. That's, you know what I mean?
So like, this movie ended up being better than it had any right to be.
Fuck yeah, man.
This was like a Planet of the Apes movie.
It really was. It just, so all of the things that we've heard Hollywood say, women can't carry a thing, too old, you know, no minority, whatever you, all those bullshit things, it blew them all away.
And no vans.
You know, vans, never can have a minivan. I can't have a sliding door. You know, like, and so it really just shows you get a compelling actor, you get a compelling story. It doesn't have to be Dunkirk, you know, which is a fantastic movie, but it can just be 90 minutes of engaging action and just enough plausibility to keep me not looking at my watch. And it's fantastic. And yeah, this like, oh, women get to. No, they're not. If she's an engaging actress, she's an engaging actress, whether she's 25 or 70. So it was really, I loved it.
Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, I kept going.
I'm kind of liking this.
You keep waiting for it to sour on you.
Yeah.
You're like, something bad's going to happen here. And
that's
then it
always
never does.
A fun surprise, too, especially when you think a movie's going to be terrible and it, like, surprises you. I'm like, oh, this is great.
And you're probably also waiting in a movie like this. You're waiting for, where's the hero cop to come and help her and save her? And then if it doesn't happen that way, but I don't know because I didn't see it, but you're thrilled. I mean, again, because it's like you're waiting for that moment, and then it doesn't happen. You're like, thank God, let her do it. She's carrying it out to the end. It's perfect.
Yeah, I don't want to reveal anything, but there's just a lot of great stuff in there that.
Great. Yeah. All right.
So I go see it. It's a blast.
So for whatever reason, it got pushed back and delays, and you know there was there's still a good movie underneath.
Yeah,
apparently.
Man. If you want to spend 90 minutes, don't go to Dark Tower. Sounds like yourself in a minivan.
Yep.
Hop it up.
You want to fight the devil, get Halle Berry in a minivan.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So now I would see
take
a Dark Tower remake.
Take a gunslinger and send him fucking walking.
With Halle Berry.
I don't need your six-gun, friend.
No, thanks. I get a notch on the handle, I get a notch on my steering wheel. I get the fuck out of the way. Eastbound in town.
I need a Honda Sienna or whatever they are. All right, so let's talk about, there's another movie I want to see.
Yes, let's talk about Detroit. Mike, would you like to start?
We're going to do a spoiler ep on it.
Yes, we're going to do a spoiler ep on it.
Okay.
So. In the same facility that you're in now, Mike. Yes. So don't be alarmed when we have to ask
have
you
to go to the. Do we have to go to the spoiler room? Is that going to happen?
There's a spoiler room.
I have no idea. It's hermetically sealed, so no one hears it for miles around.
No.
blindfolded.
So I saw Detroit, and it is a task.
It's brutal.
It is grueling, and it again, it's one of those movies where, you know, you throw your arms up and you're uncomfortably shifting in your seat, and you're just going, oh, come on, really again, and I hate to be that person. It's a you have to see it. It's Catherine Bigelow's a genius.
It's a great film.
Muscular, fucking hardcore.
It's
real,
shot like a war movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So your arms in the air is not at the movie was not executed correctly, but just the subject.
No,
matter
No, the
is
subject
so
matter is just.
It's brutal and disturbing.
And this will sound as an umbrella statement. I'll say this: I wish, as a society, we could stop making this movie. Does that make any sense?
Right. Yeah. Makes plenty of sense.
Because I will tell you this, though.
I'll say this. You're a pussy.
Okay. That's fine. I'll accept that if it means we stop making this fucking movie happen.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, you're absolutely, I mean, that,
you,
yeah.
You just wind up frustrated and terrible, and it's that kind of movie where, because there was a joke, I went with my brother, and I looked at him beforehand, because, you know, it was a pretty packed house for a late show on a Monday.
Right.
And it's a mixed crowd of us, and then there's white people, African-Americans, all sorts of people. And whenever an African-American would come in, I'd look at Lenny, I'd go, how does this work? Do we have to apologize to them after the movie? Do we just, like, is there, like, receiving line at the end where we shake hands and just give them a dollar or what? And that's before I see the movie. Right. Then I see the movie, and I'm just like, God, good. Then it's not even a joke. I want to. Right. You want to just pass out hugs, and you want to go, what the fuck? This is unbelievably terrible.
What's wrong with America? Yeah. Especially in light of...
But what's wrong with America? But the best... Again, this is 50 years ago. Literally, almost exactly 50 years ago this took place.
No, it's exactly to the day.
Yeah.
On
the release date,
on July 25th, 2017, Detroit premiered at the Fox Theater in Detroit exactly 50 years after the date.
The day that it all went down.
Yeah.
It's a story about an incident.
And nothing has gotten better. Some things are mildly.
In fact,
mildly,
the majority of the film and the Algiers sequences were shot in chronological order, too, and I think that makes a difference.
Right.
Like, the way it was shot. Now,
it was shot in Massachusetts, too, which I thought was kind of bananas.
Yeah, there was some...
Because I waited afterwards to see, because I'll tell you what, they got some really great-looking old-school 60s neighborhoods, because there's, you know...
Definitely.
The movie starts out where...
it's a period piece. So
absolutely.
It's not a cheap movie to make.
It's 1967, and, you know, they preface it all in the beginning with by showing you the riots in Watts, the riots in Newark,
right.
And all sorts of stuff like that.
Here's something that it did. Now, if you take subject matter aside and you just look at it in filmmaking and narrative terms, here's something that... it did correctly that the Dark Tower did not do. It set up the world. Like, it didn't just throw you into the Algiers.
Oh, no, like, you know what was happening.
Motel. It didn't throw you into that incident right away. It said, look, here's the world. Here's the culture. Here's what was happening at the time. So it brings you in, whether you're talking about a fantasy world or a period in history. You do it correctly the way Catherine Bigelow did. It sets the mood and tone for the viewer.
She lit a fuse.
Exactly.
Literally,
exactly.
The credits start and the fuse gets lit with actual news footage and then, you know, chyrons. And then we're brought into the movie world. But the fuse is lit.
I love when that's used correctly. The actual news footage makes you go, damn.
Oh, she crushed it. And then the fuse, we're getting Mitt Romney's dad, real Mitt Romney's dad. And you see him and you're like, holy, because he looks just like him. And he's the governor of Michigan at the time.
Right.
So we're getting actual clips of him talking about the riots and hoodlumism. And then, you know, showing, because the riots last 3 days in Detroit. And it takes a larger subject matter and then makes it small.
Right.
We start following this person's story and this person's story and this person's story, and then they all converge.
It also doesn't omit anything. It doesn't try to, like, point in any one direction. It just shows how awful everything was. Like, everything from the police brutality and basically the murdering. But also it shows the way riots, they happen, like, in their own neighborhood. They're literally destroying their own neighborhood with the
riots. Yeah,
well,
the guy playing John Conyers says, please don't burn down your whole neighborhood. And then an entire mob just starts chanting, burn it all, burn it all. Like, burn it down.
Exactly.
Because they're so tired of it. They're like, it's the only way we're going to get noticed is by making a flashpoint.
Right. And this is their senator or congressman.
Yeah, he's their local district guy. Yeah, now because he certainly went on to much larger things.
Yeah.
But at the time, he's a local representative.
Right. And he was trying to speak to basically to try to talk everyone down. And it had the opposite effect.
Yeah, they completely... inflames the whole thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're all, because everybody's fed up and furious and angry anyway.
Right.
You know, again, the whole movie starts with a bar getting rousted. And then some people outside are like, why are you rousting us, man? Why are you giving us a hard time? And then that triggers off riots that happen for 3 days.
Right.
And then the National Guard comes in. And then you add in the Detroit Police Department, which was very angry.
And you
can
see
angry.
The fear in the cops, too, especially just at that raid at the beginning. We're like, well, we got to hurry up and get done and get out of here.
Oh, sure.
Like, so you see, what I loved about this film is you saw every perspective and every angle. Like, there wasn't anything like, oh, well, come on, you know, that didn't really happen, or that couldn't have really happened, or that wasn't a believable motivation. Like, it really showed you an entire picture of a horrific incident at a specific time and point in our history.
Yeah, it's written by Mark Boal, who him and Catherine Bigelow have worked together numerous times, Zero Dark Thirty and The Hurt Locker, which, you know, is...
well, that's a 1-2 punch.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like, and
it was shot like those movies.
Oh,
right.
Sure,
and also,
sure.
And also too. So now this is her, if I'm not mistaken, maybe she's done more, but this is her second film that's based on an actual thing, Zero Dark Thirty, which I thought was a very compelling film. Whether you agree with the politics of finding Osama bin Laden, whatever, it's a very compelling movie. And The Hurt Locker, as we talked about, we really liked. So this is the, I guess my question is, maybe you've already answered it, but like, front to back, it's that like great artistic vision of a director who implements all the best people in all of the key positions, like writer and cinematographer and all that other stuff.
And actors.
I got a beef with something. I mean, is it for the spoiler episode or can I say it now?
Well, if it has to do with the plot, we can save it for the spoiler.
Well, the story is structured in almost three real segments. There's the prelude, and then there's this incident in the middle, and then there's the prologue of everything that happens because of the incident in the middle.
Right, right.
And the third part of this movie, because there's 45 minutes after.
Epilogue, really.
Epilogue, certainly.
Yeah.
It can't follow what happens in the middle.
Right.
And if I
did have one criticism of the film, it would probably be that the middle part just went on for a little bit too long.
But like, boy, I thought you needed to really bring you into the horror of it.
Right.
But what my problem then is the rushed, you can't follow that.
It's tough to do an act three after that act.
Absolutely.
Two.
And that act three is boilerplate. Courtroom objection overruled. I mean, almost like she was so tired after filming the grueling center of the film.
Well, it was so visceral and
it's a horror movie. But Jason and Freddy are cops.
The trailer is shot like a horror movie. If you watch the trailer too, you're like, well, we're just, you know, we need to get out of this night alive, mm-hmm. like literally. And
there's the horror movie shot where. When people are called outside and people are called into another room and two of the protagonists, they look at each other, we got to get out of here. So they start running into the basement and running into other rooms and there's windows opening and lights flashing and faces appearing just like a horror movie. And then they have to retreat because there's no escape. Mm-hmm. It's so claustrophobic and it's so brutal.
It is. And
it's so hard to follow in that third act.
And that's, that makes a good point too. Maybe the point is that the middle part did go on longer just to like make you more.
Oh, you're in the horror. You could have made a 90-minute movie about the middle, the second act and been done and left everybody winded.
Yeah. So I really felt like this was a really nice, just from a piece of filmmaking. It was it was put together so competently and so well, just from start to finish. I thought it was a really you're gonna hear about this during Oscar time for sure.
I hope
this movie. Yeah, and you've got really great performances too.
Who Anthony Mackie, who she worked with in The Hurt Locker?
Falcon.
Exactly.
He's becoming a real solid actor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it A.G. Smith or A.G. the kid who plays Larry?
Let me check.
I can't remember.
He's the main, in my opinion, he's essentially
the main antagonist.
Algie Smith.
That dude, I don't know anything about him, but he's a singer in the film. And
he's not the main antagonist. I'm talking about the white cop.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
He's done a lot of TV.
He looks like a Wahlberg with Down syndrome. I mean, he just looks—he's just like mean and brutal.
Well, I want to get into the actual cop. We'll do it for the spoiler ep because they did a whole in the LA Times, they did a whole profile on Catherine Bigelow in this movie, but also this actual cop and where he's at today and all this other stuff.
It's unbelievable to see him like even as like he's kind of like a rookie cop.
Yeah,
and to see just his attitude and what he does and how the other cops follow him, it's terrifying.
I was just about to say the thing in this movie, the things that are very striking are, as with a lot of these true life films, films of true incidents, the series of people not doing the right thing leading to so many wrong things.
Right.
If they would have just done this, if they would have just done that, if this guy would have done this, everything changes and none of this happens.
And we'll talk about more in the spoiler because they showed those were those moments in the movie where here's a missed moral opportunity to stop this.
And in my theater seat, you're just like, come on.
Right.
You know, you just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, come
on. I remember watching Zodiac. And, you know, which is based on real events. And I remember having obviously, it's not like people doing, there's one guy doing awful things. But, like, I remember watching that going, if this was a fictional tale, I'd be like, this is bullshit. There's no way the cops wouldn't catch him by now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you watch Zodiac and you're like, how the oh, God. And they just barely miss. And how do you not? And part of it was the technology of the time. They didn't have computers and forensics and all this other shit.
And then they've got him, but they can't prove that it's him. And he cat and mouses him. And it's just, genius.
It's like an X-Files episode.
Yeah. You're just like, and you're doing the same thing. Like, God, how did they fucking... Yeah. The thing I also want to talk about, and then I guess we can move on, because again, we'll cover this a lot in the spoiler, is the thing I'm also really happy about is it's a $34 million budget. And it's one of those things we've talked about a lot. Mike, you're bringing up cape fatigue. And we talk about this.
All the money's on the screen, too.
We say this so often. You know, Hollywood just keeps making these $100, $150, $200 million movies, and then they're not making anything in the, like, $30 to $60 million range. And they're starting to see more of that. Like, what Deadpool did was great. But this is $34 million. This is an Oscar movie in the summer. You know, like, it's really, I'm happy to see this, and I'm glad they're making, obviously, a movie like this is so relevant to what's going on in America, and America doesn't seem to want to learn from its mistakes at all. So I'm happy on the social commentary level, and I'm also happy on the finances of Hollywood to see, like, because she's Catherine Bigelow. If she wanted to say we're doing an $80, $100 million movie, probably would get it now, without much of a problem. But
the film didn't have a huge opening weekend. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take a little while to find its audience. And one of the interesting things, too, is that this is the first film to be distributed by Annapurna Pictures, which is normally just a production company. So you wonder, is this their first time marketing a film?
Yeah.
Is that a factor to, you know, how many screens or what the campaigns were and all that stuff to actually get people out to see the film?
Well, I can speak to that as a guy who's been seeing billboards for it. I had no idea what it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, you gotta tell me what we're looking at here, because I thought, because I know the MOVE stuff happened in Philadelphia. So in my head, I'm like, is this about like a MOVE type of thing that happened in Detroit possibly? And then I went, well, wait a minute. Is it like a dystopian future where Detroit is a bombed out city and the army runs it? Like, the billboards tell me nothing.
Was this Maze Runner?
You know what I mean? You just see a tank in Detroit.
Yeah, yes.
And then I'm like, is that, and also the look of the one sheet and the billboards is very Netflix documentary.
Right.
So I'm going, all right, is this something else? So I'm in my head, I had no idea what it was.
Right.
Until then. And then I see the kid from Star Wars is in it. And I'm like, wait a minute, what the hell is this? You know, and then you wind up seeing it. And then I see Catherine Bigelow's name attached. And I go, oh, okay.
Right.
You could do more putting that above the title, in my opinion, because that's your star you're selling, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with her work, you know you want to see more of it. Mm-hmm. So she should be, you know, from the and also, but another thing, give me the name Catherine Bigelow, because I did start to see from the director of The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty. Well, that doesn't, I mean, now
Catherine
you're just selling.
Bigelow, man.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. We know who she is. Give me her name.
Well, the thing that's interesting, too, that's starting to happen.
If you're going
to
say from the director of Transformers, say from the director of The Hurt Locker. You know, it's okay.
Well, like, so what's getting interesting, too, is how much social media is playing out in terms of movies either getting steam, like The Big Sick got big steam because it didn't have a wide release, and it got a lot of
good critical acclaim and word of mouth.
And word of mouth. And I think this is doing it.
Not just from us.
Right. But also, but to show you, I think what happened to The Dark Tower tanking at the box office, I think it was the reverse.
Right.
All the fans of the books went, nope, and got on social media and said, uh-uh.
Yeah. And I think before it came out, though, nobody even got tricked into opening weekend.
Right.
That was really a big deal with Dark Tower. Well, you got to. It's your job. But, I mean, other people, I mean, I saw you could see the torches and axes and stuff already, but people are just like, no, you've ruined it. We know you've ruined it. And they weren't even going to give it a chance out of the gate because of once they started doing all those weird trailer tricks, you're like, oh, man, this is terrible.
Good gun reloading. That's all I can say.
Good gun reloading.
I saw it in the trailer.
Detroit, man,
Well, I want to mention that Algie Smith guy really quick, because I don't know him at all. And in this movie, there are a lot of people you don't know, and then you see them, they're all amazing. But he sings in the movie. He plays a singer.
Yes.
And then you're watching it, and I'm like, he's actually singing. You can tell, because when he does it in several different scenes. And in my head, I went, boy, I go, that dude sounds like Ralph from New Edition. I was like, he really sounds like Ralph Tresvant. And so after the movie, I go to IMDb. He was Ralph Tresvant in the New Edition movie on TV. And I was like, holy God, how...
You're the only one who made that connection.
I'm telling you, dude, because I go, dude, he sounds just like Ralph from New Edition. That's crazy, because he's playing a guy from the dramatics,
right.
And his voice is perfect. I mean, it's just, it's just poured out of a golden chalice. It's so beautiful. And then I looked him up, and I went, holy fuck, because he looked like him, too, the little mustache, the whole deal.
Right.
And I went, Jesus Christ. I was proud of myself. I'm like, holy, man, that guy reminds me of Ralph from New Edition. He played Ralph from New Edition. Fucking crushed that one.
Well, guys, tune in for this spoiler up. We'll go into
more detail, including the
more new edition talk. Certainly,
that's right.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, though: civil rights still an issue.
yeah, spoiler alert. So cops in the black community still having some issues.
So now the we are getting into our ad. Today we have a Patreon ad. We have the Frightfully Uninformed. That is the podcast that watches mostly classic horror movies to figure out horror movie fandom. Go to frightfullyuninformed.com. That is the $50 Patreon tier.
Yeah.
You will get your name and website mentioned on every episode.
Two things you can do, guys. Go check out the frightfullyuninformed.com. That's a great way to support the show. And then also if you have a business or a website or something and you want to spend a little marketing money,
yes,
you can do it with us.
Please do.
Do not go to frightfullyuninformed.net. It is just a photo of Steve King from Iowa.
Yes. Just FYI.
FYI. Thanks, folks.
Now, for movie trailers, let's talk about that Death Wish trailer. I'll tell you, it's. I thought I was going to hate it, but as it was unfolding before me, I'm like, you know, Eli Roth is a brutal director. This might be interesting. Joe Carnahan, the writer of Narc, kind of wrote this movie. And Bruce Willis killing people. I don't know. There's something about it, that combination, that's making me go on board and looks kind of compelling to me.
Well, Narc is a great film.
Yes.
You know, if I'm trying to think of who else could take over for Chuck Bronson from the 1974 Death Wish. There was like 15 Death Wishes made. It was like Death Wish Spring Break, Death Wish Death Wish Goes to College.
There was a fair amount of Death Wish movies, yes. And Bruce Willis is literally the only person who could take it over.
I mean, I'm watching it, I was like, wow, this is a fantastic advertisement for the NRA, because it's just like, get a gun and solve your problems.
I want, you know, I after sitting through Detroit last night, I literally in my head, I was sick to my stomach and going, I don't know if I can see any more just wanton violence. I mean, the center, the entire middle of the movie last night, it just makes you go, why are there guns?
Because it was, you know what I mean? It was so grounded and brutal
of
and
course.
Realistic that it made you now.
But then I see this trailer,
which is the opposite.
Well,
yeah.
And I contain multitudes because I'm like, I'm fucking in. I want to see. I cannot wait.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah,
it's literally it's a violence cartoon.
But I want bang bang violence. Like I want real. Like I don't need the cute Jack line. I mean, it's like I don't want a funny Death Wish guy. I wish Bruce Willis was more morose and angry and just one noted his way through it and just fucking murdered everybody.
You're gonna get some quippy lines.
Yeah, I don't.
You're gonna get him.
That's
gonna
what
get
comes
him.
With the Willis friend. You
I understand it, but I don't. You know what?
Free bag of quips with the Willis.
Yeah. Give me a quippy cop on his trail. And he comes in and he like kind of makes light of everything.
Trail?
Yeah. But I don't need, I just, I want Willis
who's
to be more
grim. Who's the quippy cop on his trail? Who do we cast as that guy?
You know what's funny? In my mind, I immediately went to John Candy from Blues Brothers.
John Candy!
Like that cop.
Three orange whips while he's just shotgun
like
pumping his
Siegel.
Weight.
Jason Segel, Kevin James, maybe.
Right. Yeah, well, no. Kevin James is too goofy. Like Jason Segel, he looks like the put upon hangdog, almost like the Judge Reinhold from Beverly Hills Cop. Like, but almost like world weary and worn. Mm-hmm. And then he comes in and he gives like the little quip, and everybody hates him. I don't care. I'll take a quippy cop if everybody hates him.
Right.
But I just don't need like Jack's gonna do it. Nah, just put bullets in mouths. I don't need to see you doing a fucking Vodio dough with a big ass toe chain. You know what I mean? And creative death. Hey, it's Death Wish, man. Unload and put six in his face. Honestly, I don't need you to have. Hey, I hooked up a saw trap for that guy. Fuck you, man.
Oh, there's
just throw
gonna
a grenade
be,
into their buildings.
There is going to be a variety of ways that people are going to die in this movie. It's not
good.
Just going to be.
I want to see like you know a bunch of thugs in a pool and he's just like
he electrocutes
it. Yeah, I hope you like your TV and throws the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I want to see thugs in a pool. And then he swoops in a chopper and just blows them all away and just leaves a pool full of chum. I want him to single out one guy and like kill
Thunder
everybody
helicopter.
But that guy. Follow him for 9 months, let him get his girlfriend pregnant, and then at the birth, comes in, kills the baby in front of him. That's what I want. I want
oh
that kind of wish.
That sounds horrific.
Disguised as the doctor. Like literally, he's got like Willis has the doctor thing on, pulls the baby. It's a boy, and then he just spikes it like a football, and then he kills everybody in the room.
40-year-old boy podcast, folks. Tune in.
A little bit of anger about childbirth.
We got to stop having kids. I think that's what Mike's talking about. The country, the world's overpopulated.
Listen,
I
want a revenge movie that's a real fucking revenge movie is my point. Take everybody out. Take out generations, not just people.
Chuck Bronson didn't fuck around.
Exactly,
he
right?
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite lines in the movie was like, he just has a bag. And he's like, what's that? Bait.
Yep. That's what I mean. Because in that movie, he becomes a death robot.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And again, when you see, but also when you see the horrific scene Like, you see the suffering. That's such a key to Death Wish. You see the suffering of the maid and the you know, the family. So you understand why Bronson's doing it, and that's why you're so invested, almost like a football team, where you're like, yeah, murder everybody, because you saw the terrible things that they did.
Right.
So that's why in this movie, he better not get, look, I don't want to see Elizabeth Shue raped again, all right? I'll go on record with that.
Yeah.
But don't give short shrift to the suffering of his family, because it explains who he is, and that's why I don't need quips from a guy whose wife just got a train run on her by the fucking, you know, the Death Lords or whatever the gang's going to be called, you know? Mm-hmm. You need to be angry and invested in that anger.
Right.
And we have to. It's uncomfortable probably to root for a white guy going and shooting people in the inner city, maybe, at this point in time.
Well, you...
But at the same time, you want to invest in that guy because you understand his fucking horrible pain.
You know, in the trailer, the mother's dead. As soon as the daughter goes, where's mom?
Where's mom? And he hugs her, yeah.
That's it. Yeah. You know, okay. Now we know what happened. So,
But if you've seen the original Death Wish, you know what I mean?
Yes. It's, and, you know, there's a reason for the revenge.
Yeah. But like I said, it's revenge in Bronson's Death Wish.
Right.
I understand where times are different and you got to write maybe some quips and silliness and stuff like that. But I prefer, give me the scythe every day.
Right.
Give me the scythe.
And the next trailer we saw is Mother. Now, this is the Darren Aronofsky, Jennifer Lawrence movie. Now, I'll tell you, Darren Aronofsky, I've always been a fan of his since going back to Pi. I always thought that was such
an
incredible film.
One of those movies where I didn't know, like, I was like, all right, well, what's this?
Lo-fi, sci-fi.
Yep.
And but it was so compelling. And his, you know, his directing is, he's one of those auteurs where it's a Darren Aronofsky movie. It's whether it's Black Swan or whatever. And it's like, well, he's the only one that could have made that movie.
Right.
That's what it's going to look like. That's what it's going to be. And that's his movie.
Yeah. The Wrestler, Requiem for a Dream.
The Wrestler.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, The Wrestler was such a great film. And The Wrestler was, ironically, one of his most mainstream movies. And,
but it's so perfectly real about
it's
that
so
entire.
Good.
He immersed himself in that whole universe and everything about it. Did you, and while you're, I know we're getting to the trailer, Requiem for a Dream. You guys are movie guys better, more than me. And so you run about.
Yes.
Circles. Is that the unbelievable classic that I believe it to be?
No.
people don't. It's not. It doesn't get that respect, or it's not put on, because to me, it should be shown to all film classes everywhere.
I didn't like it as much.
Oh God,
no.
I liked it for a while, but then after a while, I was like, yeah, drugs are bad. I got it.
I don't think it's his best movie. I think there's better movies in his stable for sure.
I think either Pi or The Wrestler.
Yeah, or definitely better films.
It was so filled with no hope that it gave me hope. Does that make sense?
No.
Have you ever had that weird reverse thing where you watch something?
Not at all. I don't get it at all.
It was so bleak. You in your head, you went, well, I mean, nothing will ever be that bleak. I mean, you know, it almost gives you strength in your own life to go, well, I've not done that yet.
Well,
no
then,
one's cut my arm off with a power saw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just
let me.
Somebody gave you a double-ended dildo and went ass to ass.
Oh, the greatest.
Let me recommend Last Exit from Brooklyn.
All right. Exactly.
If you really want to feel better about yourself.
Another good pick
that
me
was
up.
One. Oh my God. One of the bleakest movies I've ever seen.
The scene where Leto's on the phone to her and she's about to go to the ass to ass and she says, "Can you come home?" And the tear, and you'd, oh no. I mean, come on. That's when they did that. Like, literally, if I did something that good, even of that 5 minutes, I would quit show business forever and be exalted. I would go, everybody call me a genius for that. And now, but he continues to make unbelievable work. So continue about Mother. I apologize.
Yes. Well, Mother is a typical Darren Aronofsky movie. You see the trailer, and you're like, all right, well, this is, it's weird.
It's also like, seems like it's kind of straight horror.
It's horror.
Which he hasn't done a lot, I don't think.
Horror, thriller. It looks like he's kind of like, doing that tightrope between both, where it is, it's kind of a thriller, but also it seems like there's horror elements. Now, the horror elements may just be like hallucinations, like you're not sure from the trailer. And that's the point of the trailer. The trailer is to just kind of get you a taste of this world and what's going on and make you curious, which is what a trailer should do.
And it makes you guess everything that's going on.
Yes.
Oh, well, he's him. Well, he's, oh, that's going on. And this is why this is happening.
Yeah. Is the husband in on it? Who are these two people that are coming to visit? And why is it called Mother? So all these things. But the trailer
wall they got to knock.
Yeah,
through,
yeah. Like, so weird. The wall goes through, and then all of a sudden everything decays.
There's an Amityville horror yeah,
light bulb filled with blood.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got.
I've never seen that at a Best Buy.
during 3-day sales.
3-day sale.
Yeah, Black Friday.
MikeSchmidt.com, ladies and gentlemen. Black blood bulb.
Yeah. So, I'm curious to see this movie just because it looks crazy.
And we just talked about how, again, cape and cowl fatigue and right. You know, a lot of CGI and stuff like that. If someone says to you, hey, Darren Aronofsky made a movie and it's got Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, and Michelle Pfeiffer in it. Are you in?
And Jennifer Lawrence.
Are you going to watch that? Oh, my Christ, yes.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I want to watch brilliant people doing brilliant things under the guise of a brilliant man.
And Javier Bardem being a creep, oh, God.
Perfect.
He is in the zone when he does that. Michael Shannon.
Oh, when he gets stone-faced, you're just like, uh-oh, this is bad.
Yeah, like, it makes you uncomfortable in your seat, like he's going to reach through the screen and strangle you.
Yeah, and he's going to put his hand on your shoulder and talk in a low voice, and you're going to think like, oh, this is the last voice I'm going to hear before I die.
It's got that Spanish thing, have the little accent to it, and you're just like, oh, I'm finished.
It's terrifying.
There something you want me to do?
Michael Shannon, dude. Oh. You know, it's funny, in the Comedy Film Nerds book, we had like our dream projects at the end,
right?
And I wanted a Blood Meridian movie, and I said I wanted Val Kilmer to be the judge. And I venture to say now Michael Shannon should be the judge in Blood Meridian. I'm just ridiculously good and everything.
Well, yeah, Val Kilmer was a little fucking
a little long in the tooth, and he's walking around with a Mark Twain wig on these days.
A little Kurtz up the river. You know what I mean? He's got a Montanaran army out there in Albuquerque, wherever the hell he's living.
That thing where he's like smashing bottles and putting them back together, you know what I mean? And then taking photos of them. You're like, all right, well,
is that
good
the guy
for you.
Real genius?
Is that Iceman?
Yeah.
From Top Gun has lost his shit a little bit.
So, and DVD and Blu-ray, Snatched. This is the, comedy.
Yeah, this was the Amy Schumer movie.
With Amy Schumer movie,
I didn't get a chance to see it.
And Goldie Hawn.
And Goldie Hawn. We had with Nikki Glaser was on the movie. She seemed, she didn't work on it, but she was here and talked about that she liked it. And I'll see that.
So, and then
Amy
next...
Schumer's topless in it.
Well, all right.
That's all I know about it.
So, now does Halle Berry rescue her? Is that what happens?
Yeah, she's on a houseboat, and she comes through the Caribbean. Get off of my swim team! Like, I'm in.
No, she's in a van converted into a houseboat.
It's always a van.
She's got a van shell.
It's got a van.
It's like one of those airboats down in Florida with the propellers, but it's a van.
Just like Neeson's, I got a specific set of skills. She's like, I have a minivan.
Yeah. I have a specific set of minivan skills. She can convert it into anything.
So, and we have King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. This is the Guy Ritchie movie that nobody saw.
Nope.
Mm. So, I don't know if you want to check it out on DVD, Blu-ray, or...
You know what, King Arthur,
I don't think anyone was really... Legend of the Sword.
You know what that movie needed?
What?
The cops from Detroit.
Yes.
just put everybody up against the fucking wall. Where's the sword? Where's the fucking sword? Take him into the other room. Lancelot, let's go. Oh, Guinevere. Oh, what are you in a room with that guy for? Why are you in those guys' rooms?
They just start nightsticking the royal court.
Yeah. They got to take it. Forsooth! Thou is nightstick has found its place to it does not belong.
That would have made the movie better.
Yeah. I want the cops from Detroit. You know, I'm going to put the cops from Detroit in a bunch of movies. Let's do that, man. Let's get Bruce Willis from Death Wish against the cops from Detroit.
Yes.
Just some, like, weird playoff. God damn it. It's awesome. Hold on. We just invented a genre.
It would have been better in Dark Tower.
Look at the cops from Detroit in Dark Tower.
Me and my mom are going on a Caribbean cruise. Cops from Detroit.
Spider-Man against the cops from Detroit. God, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Put down that margarita.
Yeah. Dude.
There's a web in this house somewhere. We're going to find it.
So, at that wall in fucking Mother, when there's a pounding on the wall, the cops in Detroit just come to it.
Be gone, spirits.
God, I love it.
And the next movie is the Jackie Chan movie, Kung Fu Yoga.
Oh, my God. We saw clips of this at Rick Meyer's Kung Fu panel in
insane.
San Diego. This looks fantastic.
And it's shot in like three different languages, so there's subtitles. Sometimes Indian is being spoken. Sometimes English is being spoken. It doesn't matter. There's subtitles throughout the whole thing.
But let me just say this. From what we saw, I will give you this little hint. It has a Bollywood flair.
Yes, it does.
And that
indeed
is worth watching.
Yeah, it is. And The
Kung Fu Bollywood movie?
Kung Fu Yoga. Yeah, that's the name of the
with,
film.
Like with Jackie Chan. And
two ancient disciplines, Mike, coming together.
And there is a still.
Remember they came out of the same font? We don't know. We're going to learn a little something in this
Yoga's
movie.
Yoga's a discipline?
Jackie Chan is in a car with a lion.
Mike.
Oh. I will take you to some yoga classes, and you will find out how much of a discipline is
All right.
Downward dog, try to hold it.
So check this out, Kung Fu Yoga. If you're a Jackie Chan fan, I mean, this is the kind of movie, too, I'll probably show my kids because it looks like it's a really fun action comedy that the entire family can enjoy.
And your entire family should be studying yoga and Kung Fu, I might
Well, ask. Until, I mean, until Jackie Chan does a... There's a 4-inch punch through a lion's thorax in the car. That's not good. Your kids are frightened forever.
No, they should know how to defend themselves against
a lion. Against a lion in the car, that can happen. You never know when a lion's going to jump in your car.
No,
it's California.
You
So, in the site spotlight, I wanted to make this announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about it for a little bit. We've been talking about it on social media. We are starting another podcast. This is a scripted Twilight Zone-style podcast called Conversations from the Abyss. I'm really excited about it. I wrote all of these, and Comedy Film Nerds is producing it. They're going to be starting to drop a week from today. On August 15th, you can subscribe right now in iTunes, Conversations from the Abyss. You can listen to the teaser. In fact, Aaron, do we have the teaser right now? Let's play the teaser. This way Graham doesn't have to edit it in later.
Thank you so much.
Good evening, and welcome to Conversations from the Abyss, a bi-weekly anthology podcast. What you're about to hear is a conversation between two living things. Possibly. Please understand. These are conversations you were never meant to hear. For instance...
Let me guess. You want my soul.
We don't deal in transactional spiritualism. That's a different company.
I don't feel much of anything, unless I'm cutting into something like this.
Ow, my leg.
I need to know. What do you really think of me?
Nothing. I don't think anything of you.
That's even worse.
I'm just saying... How do you know it's your time to die? I mean, you seem pretty sure, but what if you're wrong?
Does it matter? I'm ready.
I give you what you want, but I take your soul right now. I take the battery. Everything that you've ever put into it, good or bad, becomes mine.
And what do you do with them?
I suppose that's my business, isn't it?
And remember, that conversation you had earlier today, someone else heard it. All right,
dude.
So it's been in the works for a while. It's something I really wanted to do for a long time. So it's a Twilight Zone style podcast, but it's just weird conversations.
It's fun. I've done a couple of them, and it's really cool scripts. And it was really. I'm glad you did it. You know, it's a interesting and cool use of the medium. I think.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah, it was real. I'm really excited about it. And I hope you guys enjoy it. It's like everything we do. It's a lot of work. We want it to be good, so we spend a fair amount of time on it. So, like I said, you can subscribe now. Listen to the trailer again if you like. But the first episode drops a week from today, August 15th.
Also, just some fan feedback on the there was a response to the Chris's review of Atomic Blonde on the YouTube channel, and Lady09 Giggles wrote, "I wish the movie was simpler." Chris is right; the action is fantastic, and the budget was spent well. Thank you, Lady Giggles. I'm going to give you a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
rate that comment.
That's the fan feedback, guys. Put your comments. You know. Make your comments and whatever else on the YouTube in the comment section after the videos. And, you know, we're trying to get more people to watch that. So
absolutely. Thanks. Thanks for supporting. And premiering this week, Annabelle Creation. This is our buddy's movie.
Yeah. Andrew F. Sandberg was on the show about a month or so ago. This
David?
Is his film. David?
David.
I say Andrew. I think the studio just changed his name. So David F. Sandberg was on the show. Close personal friend of mine.
Yes.
And... No,
when you first met him, he was wearing a name tag.
He was wearing. He was at Douglas when we said.
You talking about your buddy Andy F?
Yeah.
Oh, Andy Francis Sandberg. I don't know what the F stands for, but I think it's fantastic. GrahamMelwyn.com. Fraud. David F. Sandberg is the director of Annabelle 2. Check it out. He was on the show, and we'll hopefully have more. You know, it was cool to get an inside look at what he did. And also, he brought
And his journey,
too. Oh, man. Fantastic story. So if you haven't listened to that episode that he was on, go back and check it out.
Talk about winning the lottery.
Oh,
just
yeah.
In Sweden, you know, viral video, Hollywood comes calling. Two movies.
You know, that's how Nicholas Arsic got the Dark Tower.
Right.
He's in Sweden, made then a YouTube video. They called him up.
Arsic, he's eating chocolate. Arsic, you want to tank a book franchise?
Go for it.
But yeah,
there's a million pages of material. We want you to put this into 90 minutes.
I love that pitch. You want to tank a book franchise? Oh, yes.
I'm in.
Doesn't even know which one it is. He's on board. I hate
Here's
literature.
15% of the pages.
I love destroying hopes.
Yeah.
Put them in an order. So if you want to watch his just David F. Sandberg's story is just on the YouTube channel. It's like his 5-10 minute story. If that's cool to watch before you watch Annabelle 2 and how that movie got made is pretty cool. So it's always great having and meeting new filmmakers. So check that out.
And premiering this week also, The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. I honestly saw the first one of these and horrible
no,
animated film.
And first Nut Job wasn't any good?
Yeah, isn't that weird? It's amazing.
Well, I think Nutty by Nature is going to pull it out of the
slump. Yeah, it's going to pull it out of the slump.
I'd say you take it up with the director, Andrew F. Sandberg.
Yeah.
He's clearly
Andy
doing his best work.
So. And even when my kids saw this trailer, like, no interest at all. Like, they saw the first one, too, and like, Daddy, this movie is not very good. I'm like, no, it is not.
Well, again,
it's
this
not.
Is more garbage that sneaks up on you in the night.
Right.
Like, I'm driving, and they'll see a poster with a squirrel and a nut. Like, literally, and it's just like, ha-ha, nut job, nutty by nature,
you
too.
Get it?
And I'm, in my head, I'm just like, two is a lie, right?
Right.
You did not make nut job one and then get the green light for the next one?
I know.
Who's asleep at the wheel over there?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
For real, go watch Bigelow doing great work with Detroit, or go see Kidnap. You know
or,
what I mean? Like,
you know,
go see minivans.
Or heck, go see Kung Fu Yoga if you're going to see a...
Learn something about yourself.
Yeah.
Learn the discipline of yoga.
And the next movie is The Glass Castle. This is the Woody Harrelson Captain Fantastic
movie. Yeah, he goes bing, bang, nuts. It's based on a true story. The woman who actually went through this, it's her based on her book, I believe. Brie Larson plays her. It looks good.
I got to tell you, when I was watching the trailer for this movie, all I could think of was this. Oh, this is a prequel for Planet of the Apes.
Oh,
Harrelson was this guy living off the grid.
Yeah, he goes off the rails, then he becomes a general of the last army on Earth.
Well, when the simian virus spreads, he's like, all right, lights out. I'm going to shave my head.
This is what I was waiting for.
This is my death wish.
I was right.
And there's a prequel to both of those where it's actually Woody Harrelson and he quit smoking dope.
Yeah.
And then in the next one, he goes off the grid. And then the next one, he's the general of the last army on Earth.
Yeah.
Like, dude, keep smoking dope, honestly. Look what you did to the world.
Oh, yeah. Just get a vape pen.
Yeah, so that's what's coming
brownie.
Out. There's choices for everyone.
No, nutties. The nutty by whatever the fuck. It's not a choice for anybody.
It's a horrible choice. Go see Detroit.
I only see that movie to flip it off the entire time. Literally just like two hands in the air.
Yeah.
Just fucking stone cold the whole fucking movie. Take that, nutty bye.
It would deserve it.
So you just want to walk in there. You just want to slap people's like popcorn out of their hands.
Beat it. I pay for the privilege.
Yeah.
I do. I kick your soda over and I just flip the screen over the whole time. And I just fucking Cape Fear cigar the shit out of this movie. Fuck you, naughty bye. God damn it.
Dump the soda in the guy's head. This is what you get for coming to this film.
Yeah, take that. Enjoy your Coke bath.
Yeah.
Take a walk.
I bought a Detroit ticket and walked in here just to fuck with you, friend.
Yeah.
Well, folks, I believe that's our episode.
That is our show. That is episode 381.
Oh, lock it down, 381.
It is in the books.
Come on, buddy. 762, halfway to.
I can't believe it.
Stupid.
We're creeping up on it.
Oh, halfway to 762. We gotta prepare for that.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
What are we going to do for our 400th episode?
We're going to have it in the studio and surprise Mike Schmidt again.
Oh, I cannot wait. I'm excited. Wait, this studio? Hold on, I'm out.
Don't worry, Mike. We'll do it in a tent. There'll be
good.
Garbage cans for you to forage through it again.
That's perfect. No, so pile of T-shirts I can fall asleep on?
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
No, where's Doug Benson's merchandise? I just don't feel at home.
Yes.
Still on the shelf, not selling.
What the?
So that's our show, 381, everybody.
That is.
Listen to the Detroit spoiler app. That'll be coming out later this week. Go to the YouTube channel. Mike Schmidt, where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
Well, you guys can get me at mikeandmikeschmidtcomedy.com. You can find me at facebook.com/the40yearoldboy. You can find me at twitter.com/the40yearoldboy. And unbelievably, I'm on Snapchat and Instagram at mike40yob. And I also have the 40-Year-Old Boy YouTube channel. We used to sell the old archives of the 40-Year-Old Boy, and right. I decided at the end of year 9, you know what? Free for all. So every episode is now up and available. Subscribe to us on the YouTube channel. And I'll tell you, I don't care if you listen. Just subscribe so YouTube thinks I'm a hitter.
Right.
But yeah, so I'm all over the place. Go find me.
Yeah. It's a good strategy.
Good strategy.
Yeah.
Earbuds coming out in September, Los Angeles Podcast Festival, October 6th through 8th.
Right. Already starting to put the grids together.
Boom. Gridding it. Mm-hmm. Was it in Conversations from the Abyss?
That drops August 15th is the first episode, but it is in iTunes now to subscribe now so you don't miss it.
Now you're coming out August 15th?
Yes.
All right, because I don't want to go head-to-head with you because my new podcast, Conversations with the Cops from Detroit, is coming out. August 22nd. I'll bump it a week for you.
Perfect.
I will bump
Thank
it a week.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. You know, there's a lot of competition in podcasting. We need.
I've got one called Nightstick and the Riff Raff. That's coming out August 14th. Political Vigilante Podcast is on the iTunes. It's in the news section. It is not in the comedy section, folks. Mm-hmm. Political Vigilante on the YouTube.
I forgot to mention that, too. Yeah, Conversation from the Abyss is in the arts section. It's not in comedy.
Good.
So... All right. That is our show.
Cesspool.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody at All Things Comedy. Thank you to Aaron and Brenton here at the fine air-conditioned studio that Mike Schmidt, first guest to be offended by the studio. And
it's a strong word. Surprised.
Perhaps
alarmed.
Made uncomfortable by.
I go offended.
Confused by.
Yeah. Confused.
I'm not used to comfort.
Bewildered. Yes.
Let's just end it.
Yeah, wrap it the fuck up. Yeah. I'm Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Except for the cops from Detroit.
Nope.